Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Okay, good morning. Excuse my voice, sorry. I'm going to try and keep my voice down so that I don't lose it totally. It's good to be with you guys. It's been a while. We were trying to remember when I was last here. I couldn't remember when it was, but it's good to be back. You're in a new place, in a building, and what God's doing. It's exciting. That was a great testimony that you just shared this morning. It was spot on about God being good. Yes. And getting us to sing. And it just reminded me of a scripture. I just want to share it with you. You might know which one it is. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman. Yes. You have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song. You have never been in labour. I want to talk about surrendering to God this morning. Oh, God wants to talk to us about surrendering to Him and to one another on a deeper level. And you know what? When we're going through seasons in our lives, or we've had stuff go on where it feels like a barren season, or we've lost somebody or lost something in our life, it's a tough time. When God says in His word to sing at that moment, that's an act of surrender. It's an act of submission to, you would say, why would God get me to sing now? Why would, when I don't feel like it, when this is, it looks like it's all going wrong, why would God get us to sing? It's because we're then showing our faith and trust that He is greater. We worship Him, that He is greater. Can you hear this loud enough?
Yeah.
Good, okay, so it's a real act of trust, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a real act of surrendering everything. And we're the same in our family. We just had a 21st birthday and a 51st birthday last week and this week coming up, but both of those guys died 2 years ago. And God takes the deepest, most painful situations and can turn them to an amazing way you can still stand up and say, do you know, God, you are good. I don't always understand, but your grace and your love and your mercy and your power are going to take over this situation, take over my heart, take over our emotions, take over the circumstances, and we glorify you still, whatever. And do you know what? That it's getting to the deepest parts of us, isn't it? The deepest parts of us where there's pain, where there's stuff deep. And I wasn't going to start with that, but you just got it going. I want us to look in John. We've been reading through John, haven't we, as church, in Horsham, Crawley and Worthing together, just reading through the scriptures. And God's been speaking to us about going deeper in Him to go further. So reading the scriptures every day is allowing God to go deeper in us, whether we realize it or not. When we're all reading, I had two people say to me last week, it's really good when I read these things every day to know that actually we're all reading the same thing together, knowing that God is speaking to us all. He's doing the same thing amongst us all. And I was encouraged to hear that people are reading what we're asking them to read. But actually, they're encouraged that we're all doing the same thing. And I've been reading through, well, all been reading through John. We've moved into Peter and the Psalms. But in John 13, there's this little area where Jesus decides to wash the disciples' feet. And it says in John 13, verse 2, it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Could you just imagine? I mean, just imagine if I came in this morning and said, I've got a bowl of water outside, I want you all to take your shoes and socks off. What would your reaction be? I know what mine would be. I'd be like, oh my goodness, I haven't had a pedicure in months. Not that I have those, but do you know what I mean? It'd be like, I need to go and have one quick. When was the last time my feet saw the light of day? Do you know what I mean? What kind of state are they in? That would be, honestly, that would be my first, and that might be vanity, I don't know, but that would be, oh no, not in front of everybody else, please. If it was just me and you, but Jesus did this. They all did this together, didn't they? All these blokes. And they were used to having their feet washed by a servant because it was dusty and they walked around with sandals on. And they were used to turning up to a place and having their feet washed by the servant, but not by Jesus. With us, we're used to the idea of Jesus being our servant, aren't we? Because we know this about him. We've got the word. We know he came to serve. We know that he bends down before us. He loves us. But what we aren't used to is getting stripping off in front of one another necessarily, or getting off. I know you wouldn't like it for a start. I know her. See, I know something about Michelle that you don't know. I'm not going to say what it is. But because I know her, we know each other. If I said to her, right, I want you to whip your shoes and socks in front of anybody, I know she'd be horrified. But Jesus is about. So we know Jesus the servant, but there are some things we don't want Jesus to do to us in front of everybody else. We don't want to be exposed. You know, we wouldn't want that to sort of necessarily. Some might like it, some might be sitting there squirming in their seat, you know, but Jesus knows exactly what we need. And Peter said to him, didn't he? Are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. He needed to do this with Peter. And Peter needed to allow him. And then Peter explained, then wash my hands and head as well. Wash me all over, Lord, not just my feet. And it's about allowing God to touch us, go deeper with us, expose things about us that he knows about, that he wants to come and clean at the end of the day. He wants to come and do in us. And I looked up surrender, and it says, it means, in a spiritual sense, means that a believer completely gives up his own will and subjects his thoughts, ideas, and deeds to the will and teachings of a higher power. And it can also be contrasted with submission. We're submitting ourselves, aren't we, to him. Like if we sing when we don't feel like it. We sing in the face of something that's hard. We're submitting our head, our lives, our body, saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to worship you. Surrender is also like in a battle situation. Surrender is willful acceptance and yielding to a dominating power and their will. But we know with God, he's not just it's not that he's a dominating power. He is a higher power, but he's love. And it's knowing that when we are submitting and surrendering to him in areas that he's asking us to, it's because he's loving us. He's not like a big dad in the sky saying, give me this area of your life. Do this, do that. No, God loves us. He knows us intimately, and he wants to move more intimately in our lives. So that's why he wants us to yield and submit and surrender. And washing our feet is just one example. Jesus humbled himself, and he wanted to expose and touch. And if it was us, it'd be like a covered up part of our bodies, of our lives, to come in and clean us out of his love. He knows exactly what we need. But he did it in a group setting, didn't he? And I suddenly realised, I said to Clive, are there many instances in the scripture where Jesus was just one-on-one with people? There aren't many. There aren't many. They were either done in the context of the crowd, all the disciples together, or three of them together. But there's hardly any stories of just one-on-one. There are some personal ones, but somebody had to be there to write it unless they wrote it themselves. Do you know what I mean? It was all done in a context of other people being around. And I thought the contrast of that, of so much of our lives, so much of my life, is done just me and Jesus. And I like it that way. Do you? If he needs to speak to me about something, discipline me, teach me, expose something, when it's in the comfort of my own relationship with God, when I'm on my own, having my time. But the Lord's just been, you know, God wants to take us deeper as a church, with him, but with one another. Where we're surrendering to him on a deeper level, but also surrendering our hearts to one another on a deeper level. And I read something the other day, it was really interesting. It said, surrendered hearts show up best in relationships. Because I could think I'm really surrendered to God until I'm in a relationship. Or somebody asked me to do something and I don't want to do it. That exposes then how surrendered I am, yeah? I can think I'm really surrendered to God, but actually I'm not surrendered to God. If he asks me to do something with a load of other people and I don't want to do it, actually that's getting me out of my comfort zone, doing things with other people in a small group. And so going through John, as we've been doing, John 16, verse 12, says, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So he was calling them to love one another on a deeper level, to work as a group of men. Okay? He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was about to do this. He was doing this all in the context of leading up to the cross. He was serving them. He was about to lay down his life for his friends. And he was saying to them, if you're surrendered and submitted to me, you're going to be doing the same things. And up to this point, a lot of the time in the scriptures, the disciples actually were arguing with each other. They would fight amongst each other. They were competing against each other. Is that just a bloke thing? Is that just a male thing? No, it's not, is it? It's a women thing as well, isn't it? Get us all together, what are we like, okay? So these guys, they'd been arguing, infighting. Who's going to be the greatest, they were asking. Jesus knew it was all going on. He could hear it and see it. But now he wanted them not to be fighting one another, but fighting a cause. They needed to be working together on a deeper level. They needed to be laying down their lives to one another. They would be literally laying down their lives to one another, and many of them did. They were killed for the gospel. For the kingdom to be outworked, Jesus would have to lay down his life, and they would have to lay down their lives, get their act together with each other. So these chapters in John, he talks a lot about love. Talks a lot about unity. He's like, guys, get this sorted. Get your heart sorted, because you can't fight one another. There's a world out there that needs saving. You've got to get it sorted. So this is what he's basically, in a nutshell, he's doing. John 17:10. He's been talking a lot. He's been praying here for the disciples, okay? And he says, all who are mine belong to you. He's praying to the Father. And you have given them to me. He's talking about the disciples. So they bring me glory. Okay? They were going to bring him glory together. And I read a version of this that said the other day, all who are mine belong to you and you have given them to me. So they bring me glory through their surrendered lives. So being surrendered together, being surrendered to God, being surrendered to one another is what brings him glory, was what was going to bring him glory. He was praying for God to protect their unity, I in them and you in me, so they shall be perfected as one, so that the world shall know that you have sent me and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. It was their oneness that was going to reveal the glory of God. So my submission on my own won't necessarily bring glory to God. But my submission to God, then in submission to other people, is going to bring him glory. He's going to be seen more. Surrendering to those he puts in our lives so that we don't battle against them, but we submit ourselves as Jesus submitted to the Father. His kingdom will come. The whole move of the God we know wants to do in Kingdom Faith is also through small groups. through all of us being involved in one another's lives, in the connect group, life group, small group, whatever, the breakfast times that you guys get together, the different times that we get together, that's where God is glorified. And so there's lots and lots of small groups in, now in Kingdom Faith, which is great. And Clive said, I think on the last sign-up Sunday that we had, I think there's like this year is like 80% take-up, whereas in previous years it's been like 40% or something. So God is really doing something. We want to be together. We want to do our passion. We want to like, yeah, I've got this idea. I can do this and I can bring others in. That's what we want. It's what, how God wants to move. So Anne here, Anne who's come down from Horsham with me, and Rachel had an idea to do a Battlefield of the Mind small group. Have you heard of Joyce Meyer? Yeah. Has anybody done Battlefield of the Mind? If you have, you doing it again? Is that good? Yeah, yeah. So I went into it thinking, do you know what? I don't know if I really struggle with some of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because I love Joyce Meyer. Her teaching is excellent. And if I don't often watch God Channel, but if I watch your thing, it might be her. She's on it, isn't she? She's great. But sometimes she talks about things or a testimony for me were a long time ago that I think, oh, you know, I'm okay in that area. I've overcome this. I don't struggle with that so much anymore or blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we start going through the group, don't we? And so, yeah, the stuff's coming up. And I'm not leading it, which is great. These guys are leading it. So I'm submitted. And I'm having to do my homework every week. And so last week, we got to the judging and critical thoughts, the judgmental and critical chapter. And I was reading that one, and it basically is about the judgmental critical thoughts that go in and on in our heads, but then we don't necessarily speak them, but the damage that can do to us. And that also opens up a door in our lives to the enemy, and then to sickness. And with the different things that Aaron was speaking about a couple of weeks ago, about just opening up our hearts to one another, sharing one another, speaking, you know, being honest with each other, all the rest of it. I wrote some stuff down from that chapter that I felt God say to me, I want you to share with the group. And I had a dilemma, and I wrote this down in my book. I have a dilemma. Do I share this with the group? Do I, as a leader, trust these ladies that if I share this, it won't go any further? They won't judge me. They will, you know, hear me and just hear my heart and just see that God's at work. And what will they do with my failings or with my sin? Do you know what I mean? So anyway, this was going on in me. But the group, it went. I said, okay, God, I'm gonna do this if it's right, if it fits, if it works, you steer it. And he did, like he does. Totally steered it to that direction that I had to share. And when I was asking God a question, he led me to James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So I confess my stuff to God. I'm honest with God. I'm out there. I'm open. There's nothing between me and him, you know. I don't hide stuff. And in terms of doing it with other people, especially in a group in this context, as a leader as well, I wasn't sure how far to go. Do you know what I mean? And not that it's, you know, really bad stuff or anything, but, it's opening up, isn't it? And it was to do with an area in my life where my body's been sick for a long time. And when it first happened, I got before God. And you know when you get sick, you can do everything, can't you? Well, I do. You can, like, repent. You can claim victory, claim scriptures. You can sing, you can shout, you can whisper, you can just receive, you can do everything, you know. But you know when it keeps going on? And then, you know, you just repent and like, okay, God, if this sickness is linked to something, if I've opened up the door of my life to the enemy in any way through anything I've done or said, then I ask you to figure it out. And I'd done all that with God, but this brought it back, and I felt I needed to confess it with these guys because it was about judgmental critical thoughts that I'd had years ago to a person, to a leader. And but then this sickness had happened in my body, and I felt it was right to share it with these guys. And what it was amazing, because what happened was, as I shared it, I said to you, would you now pray for my healing? Because I felt that's what God had said to me to do. So they did. But when they prayed for me, it just totally changed from what I thought was going on. They all heard the same thing from God of what they felt it was, and they all hit it in prayer. And what it did was, it opened us up to one another on a deeper level. And I trust them with what I shared. But also, what they then felt was that I was being attacked in a particular way by the enemy, and that through that, God was trying to attack our body as a church, because I'm a leader. So they then all took on board to pray for me and pray for us, the church. And it was like the prayer shifted. It wasn't about me, it was about the church and about seeing an area where the enemy was trying to get in. So it was an amazing time. And I'm sharing that with you and being vulnerable and just telling you, just being honest, because God is doing that with all of us, where we can open up with one another, trust one another in a small group, with a group, you know, there's, I think it's six of us, isn't there, in that? It can be smaller or whatever. You don't have to do it in front of everybody unless it's right, but because it needed to shut a door in my life and to the enemy getting in, lying to me or being healed or into the body, because that's how the enemy gets in. God wants us. There are areas of in our lives where the enemy can lie to us, aren't there? Or we can get in an area of darkness if we're struggling with something. But if we bring it into the light, that Jesus said the devil has nothing on us. The devil has nothing on us when we bring into the light what's going on in our lives. If we're happy to expose, if we're happy to get the hidden things out in the open, there's no darkness. The devil can't work. There's nothing on us. He has nothing on us. We're clean. And all of this is for a purpose. Okay, so we're going to go there in a second. 1 Peter 4. So we've moved on from John. And we're in Peter, aren't we, at the moment? Just started Peter. And 1 Peter 4. I don't know if I've got the actual verse written down. So I should have had them up on the board, but I just wasn't organised enough to get them to you on time to have on the screen. 1 Peter 4. Or maybe it's... wherever it says, most important of all, you might know. I don't know my Bible off by heart. That's another confession. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Does anybody know where it is? Or is it 1:4? Say that again. 1 Peter 4:8. Well, excellent. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And love does cover, doesn't it? Love has covered us. Jesus' love has covered our sins, covered my sins on the cross. He's taken them completely. They're completely covered by his blood. He doesn't see them. He doesn't want me to look at them or focus on them. We need to love each other deeply. Love covers. I think we were sharing about this in the group. You know, we can know God's love and God's mercy, and yet when someone else blows it, that mercy goes out the window, doesn't it? And we're on them like a ton of bricks. Is anybody else like that? We need to love each other deeply, because love has covered. The most important thing at the end of the day is love. It's not our judgment of somebody else. It's not whether right and wrong and all that goes out the window. The bottom line is Jesus' love covers everything. Everything, no matter what. And there's quite a few verses in Peter where he's talking about love, and in John about being one, about being united, because they knew they needed to be for God to then use them. And we need to be on a deeper level, opening up at one, covering one another, covering one another's backs. I needed to know that what happened out of that night was we had one another's backs covered. Not that they were going to judge me and then go away and gossip about me or go away and tell somebody else what I'd said. Because I don't like that. None of us likes that, do we? Nobody likes a gossip. But love covers. So when we share things, we need to know that it's covered. And we're not going to go away and talk to someone else about it or say, oh, so-and-so said this. That's not what opening up is about. We can't allow that to happen. And it's trusting one another, isn't it? So that in those situations, the light can come in. And God wants our areas of our hearts and lives, light to come in and to, no darkness, to be completely exposed. Because there's a world out there that's struggling. They're struggling in their stuff they can't get rid of. They're struggling. I mean, and you know, Aaron mentioned it when he was here with the guys. Pornography is such a serious, serious thing with men. It's an issue with women as well, but it's serious with men. And we need to be able to have safe places where we can open up and say, I've got this going on in my life. Please help. Because if we're not free, the world cannot be free. They won't come in here and get free. They'll sit in their seat, but they won't get free because they won't open up. They won't talk about it. They may have another addiction, maybe alcoholism. Do you know what? So many people drink. And it's not like, for me, I don't even think alcoholism now is about a bottle of scotch a day. I just think if you have to drink every day because you can't get through it, if you have to have a drink every evening to relax, that's bad. And a lot of people do it, and a lot of Christians do it. That's on the verge. If you can't give it up, you're there. I would say you're there. If you can't let it go, you've got to get it sorted. And it's so many people. And I tell you, I could go there quite easily. It would have been me. It would have been me. And it could quite often just be a simple decision, can't it? For me, when I got saved, I was drinking a lot and I was on drugs. So actually, for God to set me free and wean me off was a big... Some stuff, drugs went immediately, alcohol took a long time. Smoking a long time. But alcohol's one of those things where you can say, oh, a glass a day's all right. Friday night, weekend's great. I can stop Monday to Friday. But it's not. it's not. Because at the end of the day, anything we can't let go of is an idol. It's before Jesus. And Jesus wants every area, doesn't he? Say, no, give it to me. Get set free. Give it to me. You need me, not that. I'm your peace. Relax in me. You don't need that to take your head somewhere else because you can't cope. We have stuff in our life, materialism. We want to buy stuff. We want to go. In every single one of us, there's an area that he wants surrendered to him. We've got it in front. He takes his place. Could be what we watch. There's all sorts in there. It's just being real, isn't it? Jesus wants us totally because he wants to save the world. He wants people to walk in off the street and come in here and know, this is a place I can get set free. This is a place I can be fruitful in my life. This is a place I can get this sorted. I can expose this. Get shot of it. Get this sin. Get the enemy out of my life. Get this hold, this stronghold broken off of me once and for all. And this is why, because I know, I really believe this is what God is doing in his body. Is it doing it in his body, in the nations, shifting us out of any restriction in our head, in our hearts, in our lives, in our bodies, out of restriction and into freedom, into total freedom. So the kingdom of God is freedom, isn't it? It's freedom, it's joy, it's release, it's power, it's light. And for us to... It's not enough for me and myself in my room or me and myself in my little world. It's us together corporately. That light shining. And it will only shine when every area of darkness has been exposed and dealt with. Out of restriction, into freedom and into life. His kingdom power moving through us. For us, a force in Worthing, Horsham, Crawley, in this 25-mile radius, in London as well. So he wants to come and do a deep work. He wants to deliver us from every evil. And that's in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Deliver me from evil. It's not just an attack that might come in my day, you know, I want to, you know, protect me. He's like, no, anything in me, God, anything in me, deliver me. So the devil has nothing on me and I'm totally light, totally free, totally yours. I can hear you, Holy Spirit. You can move through me. I can reach somebody's life. I can see them free. Amen. Amen. Confession is a big part of that. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, and be healed. Pastor Clive brought a great word in Horsham last week. I just encourage you to have a listen. And he was talking about agreeing together. Agreement together. He was talking, and he was leading into prayer, how we want to see when we pray together, God move powerfully, okay? And he was talking about agreement, not just in prayer, like, oh, I might pray with you this morning and agree together and see it happen. He's talking about a lifestyle of agreement where we're all on the same page. We're all open. We're all living at one together. We're all in unity. That's when God moves powerfully, when we are honest and open and giving others permission to be honest and open as well, where there's no battle against one another, but we talk and we get it out. And as British, we don't talk much, do we? We might think it. And I was reading this morning about what passive-aggressive behaviour is. I think British quite like that, aren't we? Where we might think something, but we're not very good at speaking it out. Americans are more like just a lot more just get it out there, you know, say it as it is. But British, we think it and just say something completely opposite. but it goes in. It goes in and it can cause damage. We can mull on it, can't we? And it's better just to get it out there, isn't it? And not that we, I don't mean we just go around saying horrible things, but I mean we're just more honest and open and freer with one another. So if I feel something, I can say something to you because you're not going to take offence. Because we do that as well as Brits, don't we? We take offence, we take it inside, take it on board and go away and talk about it or moan about it, but don't talk to the person about it. And we've got to change for God to move through us. Because he sees and hears it all. And there's the disunity is going on, isn't it? So there's no secret battles with sin, no secret battles with one another, no secret addictions, no secret idols. But God comes. Jesus came, salvation, his name, right? Yeshua is salvation. And it means to be wide open. It means to be free. It means to be rescued. It means to be preserved, delivered, liberated, victorious. It means no shame. It comes and delivers us from all shame and all guilt. No embarrassment and no reservation. No reservations. But we're delivered and drawn into breakthrough. I just want to read, I'll finish with this. We've been reading through Psalms as well, haven't we? If we've been managing to do it all. Psalms and John and Peter. I love this Passion Translation. I don't know if any of you have got this, but this is just great. So reading through the Psalms. So I was reading earlier on in the year, I started this and was reading Psalm 114, 115, I've got stuck on. Let's start with Psalm 115. You can read it in yours or you can just listen to this because sometimes you've got different translations. It gets a bit complicated, doesn't it? Psalm 115. In verse 9, I'm going to start. Trust in the Lord, all his people, for he is the only true hero, the wraparound God who is our shield. You, his priests, trust in the Lord, for he is the only true hero, God wrapped around us as our shield. Yes, all his lovers who bow before him, trust in the Lord, for he is our only true hero, God wrapped around us as our shield. The Lord will never forget us in our need. He will bless us indeed. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron, his priest. Or he'll bless us. He'll bless our church. He'll bless us as his priests. Yes, he will bless his lovers who bow before him. No matter who they are, God himself will fill you with more. Blessings upon blessings will be heaped upon you and your children. For the maker of heaven and earth, the very God who made you, the heavens belong to our God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and put us in charge. So all these blessings are ours. He's our shield. He's our hero. He's our saviour. The heavens belong to God. They are his alone. But the earth, he's put us in charge. The power he has put in us that he wants to see released, the kingdom power on earth, is up to us to see it released, to see our communities changed, to see our neighbours, see our families changed, our 25-mile radius. Our nation is up to us. The power is in us. And what I love about the chapter before, Psalm 114, It says, many years ago, the Jewish people escaped Egypt's tyranny so that Israel, God's people of praise, would become his holy sanctuary. So that's us, okay? We've been delivered. We are his holy sanctuary. We're his people of praise. His kingdom on earth, it says. The Red Sea waters saw them coming and ran the other way. Then later, the Jordan River too moved aside so they could all pass through. The land shuddered with fear. Mountains and hills shook with dread. Oh, see what happened to you to make you flee. Oh, Jordan, what was it that made you turn and run? Oh, mountains, what frightened you so? And you hills, what made you shiver? Tremble, O earth, for you are in the presence of the Lord, the God of Jacob. His presence was in them and with them, and everything shifted out of their way. And it's the same presence with us, the same presence in us, the presence of the Lord, the God of Jacob. Tremble, O earth. He splits open boulders and brings up bubbling water. Gushing streams burst forth when he is near. And this is us. This is a picture of the kingdom of God expressed through his people, that everything that's not of him has to shift out of the way. Has to shift out of the way. Mountains, hills, the sea, the Red Sea, splits open boulders. That's strongholds in people's lives. Presence of God in us splits open the way before him. Gushing streams first burst forth. Why does he want to go deeper in us? Why does he want to free us completely? Why does he want us united in that way? Because we're an incredible force together. We're an incredible force together. The kingdom of God in every one of us united is an incredible force here in Worthing. The enemy cannot stand as you guys move out. He cannot stand as you go out to witness, when you go out on your outreach. He cannot stand when you pray together, when God is going to a deeper level of unity, when you agreement together, not just there and then, yeah, we agree that God says this and he's going to do it. No, a deeper level of agreement amongst us, all as kingdom faith, across the whole body, God's going to move powerfully in our region. Nothing can stand in his presence. No enemy, no stronghold, no wall, no sickness, no addiction. It has to shift out of the way. That's why I love the season that we're in and what God wants to do. And it's up to us to allow him, isn't it? We're in charge. We're in charge of our own time, charge of our own diary, charge of my own relationship with God. And will I allow him to do this, not just this, on a deeper level so that more can flow out? Rivers of living water can flow out. There's freedom so that people can come in and get free. I can't expect anything of anybody that walks in if I'm not living it myself. We can't expect people to walk in and confess if we don't. If we're not real, we can't expect them to be real. If we're open, we go out on the street, they'll start opening up to us. It will happen, but there's a way God does it in us. He doesn't bypass us for his kingdom to work. It's his Holy Spirit, isn't it? Going deeper in us. We looking forward to Wednesday when we're all together, what God wants to do. And I'm not necessarily speaking. One of the girls from Crawley's carrying some stuff from God. So, yeah, it's going to be good what God wants to do among us. This whole belonging, the word that God gave us earlier on in the year, belonging to one another. It was... We called the conference that, She Belongs, but it's more than that. It's not just She Belongs for the conference, it's we belong to God and we belong to one another on an ongoing, deeper level for God to move and do more amongst us. There's the battlefield of the mind. There's 10 of us leaders are doing this life course at the moment, living every day in freedom. I live in freedom every day. That's the right way around. That's life. Otherwise it'd be life. Yeah, life. Living in freedom every day. I'm going through that course to then roll that out for us as a church in the spring. Because all of us, we need to live in freedom every day and bring others into that. It's going to be a good course for all of us to go on, all of us to go in through it. Because it's God wants to do a powerful work of deliverance and freedom. We're excited for next year, all of us as leaders. Clive and I have been talking about it, all of us. We had a couple around for breakfast yesterday, and she was sharing with us that at the last Impact prayer meeting, they prayed into gates. You know, we talked about praying into gates. And they prayed into them that night, and not just the gates of the area that we might live in, like the specific areas to pray into, but where people work, the things, the community issues, to pray in those as a church and see God move, to be really focused. And this girl that was sharing yesterday morning, she was leading one of those. And the next morning, she had a breakthrough in her work situation. She's a social worker, a massive breakthrough. And we're talking about people's lives, aren't we? We're talking about people's lives where we want to see breakthroughs, where God needs to break in and see massive stuff happen in our work situations, in our communities, with the police, with schools, with wherever massive situations are going on around us. That prayer, the focused prayer next year, as God's doing a deeper work, we're going to see more happen. So we're really excited for everything God wants to do in us and through us for next year as well, getting more strategic as God does a deeper work in us. Should we stand together, pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You just want to lift your hands and lift your voices to Him, because at the end of the day, this is your heart to Him, isn't it, response to this word? Father. Oh, Father, you are our Father, Lord, and you love us. Lord, you love us so deeply. Lord, you call us your children. You call us your friends, Lord. Lord, because you want that deeper, intimate relationship with us, Lord. And Father, we come before you and we say yes, Lord. You say yes to Him if that's your heart response. Yes, Lord. Lord, I'm your child. I'm your friend. I'm no longer just a slave. I don't know what you're up to. Come and just speak to me. Show me what you're doing. I allow you, Lord, to come and do a deeper work in me. Lord, a deeper work as your child. Lord, I just give you every area of my heart and life, even areas where I wouldn't necessarily want you to come and touch, areas where I don't understand, where I don't want to let control of. I don't know if I trust you, but Lord, come. Come and speak. Come and touch. Come and cleanse. Come and heal, Lord. Help me, Lord, expose myself to you more. Help me be real more with you, with others, Lord. Lord, help us go deeper with you, Lord. Lord, help us open up more, be more real, more loving with one another, Lord, be more honest and open. Let you come and move amongst us at a deeper level, Jesus. Your kingdom can flow amongst us. There's no walls, there's no barriers, there's no blockages. Holy Spirit, that you can flow amongst us and through us in a powerful way. Lord, that you want to reach and touch the world. Lord, you want bondages to be broken, Lord. You want strongholds to come down. You want communities changed. God, you want to move in powerful ways in our community. Lives healed, saved, delivered, Lord. Lord, come and move through us, in us, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Lord, I want to see these verses where stuff moves out of our way. It comes down in front of us, Lord, in our communities. Lives are set free because we've walked in a situation, Lord, because we've agreed together in prayer, because we've gone to a deeper level in agreement with one another, Lord, in covering one another's sin, in covering our backs, Lord. Nothing is hidden, Lord. We are a powerful force to see your kingdom come in our communities, Father. Lord, whatever that looks like, whatever the mountains are in our 25-mile radius, whatever the seas are, whatever the hidden things are, whatever the darkness is, Lord, we thank you. You're going to break it open. You're going to expose it. It's going to shift. And Lord, your rivers of living water are going to flow where once boulders have been. They're going to split right open, and you're going to move, and we're going to see your saving grace in our community. Lord, we surrender our hearts and lives to the process Lord, your kingdom to come and your will be done in our midst, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.